Luke 17, verse number 12 says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him," what's that word? "And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I pray that you would be here with us tonight, meet with us tonight, Lord. And I pray as we look here in the scripture, Lord, and I find this powerful truth about thankfulness, Lord, I pray that you would help it to be a huge part of our life and we can learn and glean something from this. Lord, help me as I preach it. Guide me, guide my words, Lord, and my thought process, Lord. Help me to preach what you want me to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message tonight, how thankfulness vanishes. How thankfulness vanishes. My kids know this. One of my pet peeves is when somebody does something for them or gives them something and they just turn away and don't think to say it with me.
Thank you.
It gets me all irritated sometimes. And I get on them all the time for it because, man, we should be thankful for the small things, for the big things. It should be an automatic thing that we do. When somebody does something for us, we should be thankful. And we shouldn't just think it. We should say it and let them know, hey, I'm thankful. Thanks for doing that for me. Something as parents we should be instilling into our kids is teaching them to be thankful. Guess what? They don't just learn it and just do it on their own. That's our job as parents, is to instill good biblical principles into our kids. And there's a major lack of showing gratitude and thankfulness in our day and age. Huge. I remember working with bus kids and bus teenagers and just what they expect everybody to do for them. They just expect, you should be doing that. And when you don't do it, they'd get mad. You know, it's really not their fault because they're raised that way, raised by their parents like that. Their school doesn't teach it to them. The public school's not teaching it to them. Their neighborhood's not teaching it to them. And it's become an epidemic in our country of not being thankfulness. And it's spilled its way into churches. It's spilled its way into the Christian homes and into our Christian schools of not being thankful. There's some dangers with that. Everybody these days is out to get somebody else and out to shaft somebody else. And to it's unbelievable the things that go on in our country. I mean, I really don't watch the news much. It's every time you watch the news or see anything about going, it's just, people are wild. You wonder, how do they get to this point? Well, there's some things that are not being taught to them. There are some things that are not being given to them by their parents. Not given to them. They're not going to church. And I believe not being thankful is a massive reason of why our country has gotten to where it's gotten to. How many of you get very upset when someone doesn't put their hand over their heart and sing the Pledge of Allegiance? How many of you get upset when they kneel to it? Is that an act of thankfulness? It gets my blood boiling when people act like that. They could care less about all the people that sacrificed, gave their legs, their arms, their lives, so that we could have the freedoms that we have today. Thankfulness has vanished in America, all over the place. I mean, you start to go to one thing after another in our country, and you'll be amazed at how much our young people don't know about the history of America. When you don't know about the history of America, it shows you're not thankful for it. And whoever your parents were, whoever the adults were in your life, they weren't thankful for it. Because if they were thankful for it, it meant something to them, and they were going to make sure that you knew about it. You see, the things that mean a lot to you, you teach to your kids. Am I right or wrong? You teach it to your kids. The things that mean a lot to you, you teach to them. Are you teaching tonight your young people, your kids, to be thankful. Teaching your grandkids to be thankful. I read about General Patton. I mean, you know who General Patton is, all right? Big part of history in America. He was a pretty rough guy. I don't think he was very Christian too much when he spoke, from what it sounded like. And some rough words came out a lot of times and who he was. But he fought for our country. And he's a huge part of why we have the freedoms we have today. But one thing I came to really respect about him was for 35 years, out of his own pocket, he supplied rehabilitation camps for thousands and thousands of soldiers that came back from World War II that had mental afflictions, disabilities, and suffered with paranoia and different injuries and whatnot. And for 35 years, General Patton, out of his own pocket, paid for all these camps and all the supplies and everything it took to help these soldiers, because he felt like our country was not doing enough for our veterans. I think we're still dealing with that today. They're not doing very much for our veterans today. And out of all of those years and out of the thousands of soldiers that came through his camps, he said one soldier wrote him a letter and told him thank you. One. Several years ago, I think it was about 44 years ago, the New York Times did a thing during Christmas time where they decided they wanted to have all the kids in New York City send in letters to the newspaper of what they wanted for Christmas. And they said, you've got 24 hours and whoever does it will get a gift sent to them. And so they had all these kids fill out all these letters. And they said the first 2,500 kids that filled out and wrote in a letter to the New York Times newspaper would get a gift sent in the mail to them. So all 2,500 kids, the first 2,500 kids, man, they wrote a letter and asked for certain things and got it in some way or form, got something, some type of toy. And they said out of the 2,500 kids that wrote those letters and got those gifts in the mail, one 9-year-old boy wrote a thank you letter to the newspaper. One. You say, oh, it's just a newspaper. It's happened. It's all over the place. That's just to give you an example. 45 years ago of where our country is, you'd think these the 10 lepers, didn't have a thankful heart. You'll find that all of us fit. I've got 5 things tonight why I think thankfulness vanished in their lives. Out of the 10, 9 did not say thank you. 9 did not come back and say thank you. I've got 5 things, and I think we can all relate with them, that I believe are some reasons of why they possibly did not say thank you. When I read this text, I see 10 men that were isolated from their families. They didn't get to be with their families. It kind of somewhat, almost in a smaller sense, of kind of what COVID was like for some elderly people that got put in hospitals and just died by themselves and nobody was there with them. That was a sad thing. But that's something kind of similar to what these lepers were going through. Someone got leprosy, they got vanished away from everybody else. They were gone, given to their own like island, be by themselves. Nobody would go around them because leprosy could spread so easily, and everybody else could get it and then die from leprosy because it would just eat away at all your skin until it killed you. It's just a horrible, horrible thing to happen. So I see 10 men that are isolated from their families and communities because of their gross look. They stink. They're rotting from the inside out. They're experiencing untold amounts of pain on a daily basis. No one's helping them. They're not in a hospital. They're not getting pain medication. They're not getting medication to ease up the pain or to heal them. None of that. They're basically just waiting for the day and suffering, thinking of the day when they're going to die. It's what their life was like. They had no future. They had no job. They remained outcasts until the day that they died. And even then, they can't even have a decent funeral. I mean, that's the life of a leper, okay? They were hated, despised, rejected by everybody around them. I wonder what it was like for them as outcasts away from the city, and them being able to look over a wall and see their kids out there laughing and playing with other kids or their grandkids, or seeing their spouse from a distance, laughing and having a good time, and everybody in town enjoying life, and them sitting over there suffering, all they can think about is the day they're going to die. Miserable, depression, definitely setting in. It blows my mind that Jesus heals these 10 lepers, and the first thought in their mind is to not say what? Doesn't that blow your mind? If you put yourself in their shoes, it's how? How do you get to that point? How do you get to a point where you don't first think, man, where's the man who healed me? I need to go and find him and get at his feet like the one man did and just thank God uncontrollably. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my goodness, my life is back. I get to go see my kids. I get to be with my wife. I get to be with my husband. I get to be with my grandkids. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me my life back. I promise you I'll serve you with my life. I mean, you would think that would be the answer, but it wasn't. And how foolish are we to ever look at people in the Bible and to think or to say, I would never do that. I would never do that. These 9 lepers, I promise you, at one point were healthy just like you and me. We're not in that point. They weren't there. But they got to a point where all of a sudden they weren't thankful. Number one, I believe, signs of the times. You'll see that this story wasn't just thrown in there. The whole rest of this chapter is donated to the signs of the times. And what they are showing us is that in the end times, there will be a lack of gratitude. I think we're in the end times. Do you believe that? I believe we're getting closer and closer. Well, we know we're getting closer and closer, but I believe we're very, very close. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul said, in the last days, men will become unthankful and unholy. Wickedness abounds right now in America. Unthankful and unholy. Well, those are some of the two biggest problems we have in America, right there. That sums it up right there. Unthankfulness and unholy. It's like it was in the days of Noah. It's like it was in the days of Lot. It's like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember what happened when they got wicked like that? When they got unthankful? Good things did not come from the Lord. We have homosexuality and transgenderism just flooding our nation. And it's supposed to be accepted and be normal. Everything the devil does, he tries to do opposite of the Bible and push it upon the world to make it seem as if it's supposed to be normal. And if you say anything against it, boy, you're hate speech. You're a horrible person. I can't believe you talk like that. Why do you think about people like that? It's incredible. The things that have been pushed upon our nation the last 10 years. Just take the last 10 years and how wicked our country has gotten. Those of you that are in here that are 50, 60, and 70, and 80 years old, probably the last 10 years have probably been the most wicked years that you've seen in America. It is incredible what has gone on. It just shows me as a Christian, as I read the Bible, we're getting really close. We are getting really, really close to His return. The Bible says when we see these things come to pass, we might as well look up because our redemption draweth nigh. It kind of gets me excited that we know we're getting closer to His return. I hope He comes in my lifetime. Don't you? How many hope He comes in your lifetime? All right. Some of the teenagers are like, well, at the end of my life, you know, at the end of my, I got some things I got to check off still in my life. Don't hold them up. All right, young people, don't be praying for that. Number two, I believe possibly the reason why they weren't thankful, why thankfulness vanished in their life, maybe because they were spoiled by their parents. I don't believe in this whole mindset that we blame everything on our parents. I don't believe in that. I get sick and tired of my generation, especially, is all the problems in my life, oh, it's because of my parents. Oh, it's because of them. They were terrible. All this and that. And they go to these group therapies with others that are their age. And, oh, it's just a time to gather around. And what can we think of? You know what? My parents did that too. I didn't realize that was horrible. But now I realize that's horrible. I can't believe they did that to me. You laugh, but it happens all the time. I know people in my own church that I grew up with that were a part of these groups. And it's just, man, the pastor, our parents, everybody that was in our life, all these problems, they're not my fault. It's my parents. It's my pastor. Man, that Sunday school teacher when I was in second grade, oh my goodness, they did not give me candy and it just messed me up the rest of my life. It just blows my mind some of the stuff they come up with. And it's like, you're going to blame your life's problems and everybody else. All those decisions that you made, you're a 40-year-old person and you're blaming your parents still? I understand people go through hard times and maybe don't have the best parents. But the young people in our church don't have that excuse. Young people, you don't get that excuse. You don't get to leave Blessed Hope Baptist Church and blame your pastor and blame your parents. But I believe as parents, we've got a very high responsibility given to us. I remember the first time we had my daughter, and they gave me that baby, and just a sense of responsibility just hit me. Like, wow, I'm responsible for this child. How many parents remember that? Like, that's when it officially hit. Not when I found out my wife was pregnant. It was the moment they put a baby in my hand that was alive, looking to me to guide it through life. Like, wow, holy moly. Can we handle more than one? I don't think so. But thank God for the Lord, amen? Thank God that he's there to help us. But I believe as parents, we've got a huge responsibility of what we instill into our kids. And I find myself as a parent, and I guarantee you find yourself this way too, is that sometimes life starts living us and we don't slow it down to realize, what am I teaching my kids? What am I instilling into them? How am I helping them? Sometimes a lot of Christians go to a good church, put their kids in a good school, and they kind of just live life, and life is just going along, and they expect all these great things to happen with their kids, but they're not taking time to slow down and teach their young people something. Teach them Bible principles. Have conversations with them. Ask them what's going on. What are they thinking? What do they have questions about that they believe? Our young people need to be taught what the Bible says, what we believe, and why we believe these things. They need that, and they need it from you as a parent. Don't just shove that responsibility upon the pastor. Don't just shove it upon the Christian school or upon the Sunday school teachers. We can't do that. Grandparents, we've got to take that responsibility as parents and as grandparents to do everything we can to not spoil our kids. I've seen so many young people that grew up and they didn't have much growing up. Maybe they grew up eating top ramen and beans and rice and didn't have much, and it was just rough, all right? How many were like that? You say, I grew up, we did not have much. Our parents did not have, I grew up like that. Man, I remember the church sometimes couldn't afford to pay my dad. And so, man, he would skip 2 and 3 and 4 paychecks sometimes because the church just didn't have the money. And I remember us just scraping by and barely surviving. But somehow we made it. Yes, somehow we made it. And all of us kids are in the ministry to this day. None of us look back and say, that was a terrible life that our parents gave us. Oh, if we used all the excuses that all these other millennials are using today, it's just ridiculous. They open their mind up to find fault in their parents. It's like, you think you're perfect? Go ahead, let's see what kind of parent you're going to be. Can't wait to see what your kids say about you someday, because you've showed them the path of what to do and how to talk about their parents. I can tell you, I haven't seen any of them have kids turn out. Haven't seen it. But spoiled by parents. As a parent, I've seen the opposite reverse happen sometimes, that when a kid grows up and they didn't have much as a kid, and they struggled, maybe they're financially in their house, they try to give their kid the exact opposite and overspoil their kids. Because I don't want my kid to have to go through that. Somehow you made it. Isn't it neat, though, how when you don't have everything, the Lord shows up and provides? I find in my own life, those are opportunities I get to show my kids, teach my kids, hey, God did that for us. Daddy didn't get that. Mama didn't get that. God just provided that for us. Do you take time to teach your kids that? When there's a need that you need in your life, in your home, in your kid's life, in your life personally, and God provides it, do you turn that light bulb on for your kids so they realize God did this for us, guys? Did you realize what God did? That's exciting. Are you still have that joy in your life when God does something for you? Like, man, this is awesome. The Lord did that for us. What's that going to instill into your kids? They're going to believe in the Lord. They're going to realize, man, he can do some great things for us. I remember when he did that for my mom. I remember when God did that for my dad. Man, I will not forget that. Make those memories for your kids. Because when they get to moments like these lepers got to, they'll remember him. They'll remember to be thankful for him. I believe they could have been spoiled by their parents. Number three, it could have been a spiritual problem. Could have been a spiritual problem. Jesus never told the others their faith would make them whole, except for the one that came back. The others just wanted healed. They never got saved. They wanted to be blessed, but never got born again. Most people, all they want out of Jesus is to be healed, be restored, helped. Help me, Lord. And then when they get help, they just go back to their old life, doing their own things. If that's the concept you have of Jesus, and all he's there to do is just help you and supply those things for you, and that's it, man, you've got a warped concept of who Jesus is. A warped concept. People seem to only call on Jesus when they're at the end of the road or when they're really up against the wall and they have no hope. Then they cry out, help me! Then they get help and they go back to doing what they were doing before. You and I need to learn to love Jesus for who he is and not just what he does. Hear that again? I think you need to hear that. You and I need to learn to love Jesus for who he is and not just what he does. Oh, he can help you. But we need to love him for who he is in our life. Let's never be jealous of what God does for somebody else. How many would say, be honest with yourself, all right? Be honest with everybody around you. You say, God did something for someone else and your initial reaction was a little bit of jealousy. Raise your hand, all right? Come on now. Come on, raise it up, raise it up. Tell yourself something. You're like, all right. That happens. That's a natural tendency, all right? But hey, let's not be jealous of what God does for somebody else. What he has for you, he has for you. And he's not going to deliver your mail to someone else's house, okay? What he has for you, he's going to give to you. Hey, and if he's delivering for someone else, that means he's in the neighborhood. You just might be next. But when you have a bad spirit, man, you come to church and you see God doing other things for someone else, God's blessing someone else's life, and you get an upset spirit, and your spiritual life all of a sudden starts to decline, guess what? He ain't delivering that blessing to you now. He's not going to supply your every need because you're not where you need to be as a Christian. You've got a spiritual problem. You know you have a spiritual problem when you come to church and music here at church doesn't speak to you. When you come to church, I get worried. I remember my dad used to say this all the time. He said he would get worried when he'd be up on a platform sitting down and during the song service, he would see certain people just consistently not singing in church. He knew as a pastor, as a shepherd of the church, something's wrong. Something's wrong spiritually there. God gave us music to help us. God gave us music to uplift us, to encourage us. And we have a guarded heart against that. And we don't want to participate in something that God created to help us. There's a problem. Big problem. I've heard people say, oh, I don't need music. I really don't ever listen to music. There's a problem. God wants music to be good music, to be a big part of your life, a big part. It's okay to say amen in church. Amen. There we go. It's okay to say amen in church. Amen. There we go. Let's practice for a second, okay? When the preacher, whoever's preaching up here, is talking about the goodness of God, something ought to wake up inside to say, hey, I want to shout and say amen to that. Come on. He's done something good in my life. It shouldn't just be, oh, yeah, we've heard this before. Oh, the preacher's done this before. That's a spirit of unthankfulness. Okay, that's a spirit of unthankfulness that will affect you in your life. It will affect your kids. It will not help you in life because you're not allowing it to help teach yourself, I need to be thankful. Every time the goodness of God is mentioned in church, man, it should be something you thank God. Every time someone gets saved at church, hey, so-and-so got saved, what do we say? Hey, man, come on, hallelujah, another soul's going to heaven. That should be something that we're excited about. Let's practice for a second. God is merciful. He's almighty. He is holy. He's the deliverer. Come on, some of you are saying amen. Come on now. Let's get excited. Let's say amen. There we go. He's the healer. He's our master. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the one who gave you birth. He's the one who gave you a spouse. He's the one who gave you eternal life. It's okay to be excited to serve the Lord. I think when we lose that thankfulness, it affects our spirit as a Christian. And all of a sudden, it doesn't become automatic to us to be thankful to Christians, to be thankful to God. When we can't be thankful to each other, how are we supposed to be thankful to God? If we can't be thankful to Him, how are we supposed to be thankful for each other? Does it affect you when you do something for somebody? We're humans. Does it affect you when you do something for somebody and they don't ever never think to say thank you? You're human, so don't say, oh, no, I don't even think about that. Really? Okay. Let's try everybody. Don't say thank you to that person for a long time, right? And see how they feel. We like a thank you. Amen. It encourages other Christians when you say thank you. Doesn't cost you anything. And I remember how much it meant for my mom and my dad for me to tell them thank you for spankings. I never said it when I was a kid. I didn't want them to know how thankful I was then, all right? But I remember it as when I was in college and one of my friends called me out because I was complaining about all the rules in our house. Man, you were able to do that in college? And I mean, I remember like just hearing these guys talk about what their life was like, and it was like way different than my life. You guys were able to do all that stuff? And I was like kind of upset. Man, if I even did this and this, and I started kind of mocking my parents and stuff. And I got in that vein of trying to be cool with them, thinking I was like, you know, man, my parents did this, and we got a spanking if we did that, or if I even talked back to my mom at all, it was an automatic spanking by my dad. It was, and I remember my friend, he's a pastor today, good pastor today, I just saw him at man camp the other day, Trevor Himes. Literally, I'd only known him for like a month at college, and he said, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you're a joke. And I said, man, I wish I had parents that had rules like that. I wish I got in trouble for all the junk that I did growing up. He's like, it's by the grace of God that I even made it to Bible college. I didn't have any parents that were involved in my life. He said, there were some people in the church that helped get me into the Christian school and sacrificed and helped me get there. But man, I just was able to do whatever I wanted. And he said, I've made so many dumb mistakes because nobody put guardrails up for me. And he said, I have to live with those things now. And he said, and you don't have any of that baggage and you're here complaining about it? He said, that's pathetic. I'm like, bro, I thought we were bros. Like, come on, man. Like, what's going on? And I remember just calling me out like this. I'm like, we're not that close yet, man. You can't be talking to me like this. But man, it just sunk in deep when he said that. I'm like, I'd never had someone call me out like that before. And he said, man, if I was you, I'd call your parents up and tell them thank you for all the spankings. I said, ha, yeah, right. He said, oh, you're not man enough to thank your parents for all the rules? I'm like, good night, man. Like, what are you, like the dean of students or something here at the college? Like, what is going on? You're a freshman like me. We're supposed to be immature. And I remember him calling me out and telling me to be thankful for that. Man, I couldn't sleep that night. And I remember just sitting there thinking about it, thinking about all the things that the rules that my parents had, the instructions and what I wasn't allowed to do. And I started processing the things that I was protected by and the things that my parents kept me from and the things that I thought were dumb little rules. My parents had a reason for those. And I started thinking about it. And I remember being in my bed and I remember tearing up in my bed and just kind of crying. That spirit of thankfulness and the sacrifice my parents had all growing up, I was consumed with it. I didn't want anybody knowing I was tearing up, so I wasn't making no noise in my dorm room. And I'm, you know, just sitting there crying, tearing up, and just thankful. That next morning, I remember calling, or not next morning, it was the next afternoon because I had to go to college classes, but I remember calling up or texting my parents, and I told them, can I call you guys? And I want you both to be on the phone. I had not done that before. I was one of those kids that didn't call home enough on my freshman year. And my mom didn't like that, you know. Moms want to talk to you. Here, how's it going, you know? And I just never liked talking on the phone. And so I called them up, or I texted them and said, I want to talk to both of you on the phone. So they thought that was weird. And so I got them both on the phone. And I remember, I'll never forget, the awkward silence after I said, I just wanted to call you up and tell you both, thank you for all the rules that you had growing up, and thank you for all the spankings. It was just silent. It felt like an eternity. And I remember them just like, is this a joke? Like, what's going on here? And I remember my dad piping in and said, are you being serious, son? And I said, no, I really am. And I said, I had a friend here that really kind of showed me why I should be thankful for the rules and the guidelines you gave in my life, had my life. And I said, I never really thought about it until now. And I said, he really put it into perspective for me. And I said, I just want to tell you both thank you. And I remember my mom tearing up, crying. My mom had to do a lot of the disciplining in our home growing up because of my dad's health. My dad was bedridden most of the time, couldn't do a lot of it. So she felt like she was always, you know, the bad parent or the mean parent because she had to do a lot of the discipline because my dad physically couldn't do it. And I remember her crying because her son, who she felt like didn't have a good relationship with for a while, because of the discipline, because of all the rules, is realizing now why he's thankful for it. And I remember what it did for my mom that I expressed that thankfulness and gave her that thankfulness. And for my dad, and how all of a sudden our relationship got a lot better because I understood them. I understood what they did to try to help me. I understood all of a sudden, man, everything you were doing for me growing up was to help me and to get me to where I was trying to get to in my life. I believe one of the biggest reasons why I made it as a young person was because of my parents had all the rules, guidelines. I'm thankful for that. But I believe a huge part of it, we went through a lot of trials in my home growing up. My dad's health, I was not able to really do much of anything with my dad. As far as physical things and sports and hunting and things my dad grew up doing his whole life, he wasn't able to do with us. Naturally, a kid can have a bitter spirit and get upset about those things. But I'm thankful for the men in the church and the ladies in the church for my sisters that really stood up to the plate and taught us that Christian life is fun. It's a joy to serve the Lord. And I remember getting to go soul-winning with different men of the church and the conversations we had about, if I ever tried to say anything about my parents, they steered my mind in the right direction, taught me to be thankful for them. I could talk to you about so many different men in the church and conversations that I had with them that helped guide me. And when my mind and when my weaknesses started going off the rails, men in the church stepped up to the plate. My uncles were in the church. Deacons in the church stepped up to the plate and helped guided me along the way and taught me to be thankful. I remember men in the church, my dad's a pastor preaching, and I remember, my dad's like Pastor Ross. My dad doesn't hold back, all right? He does not hold back. He preaches what God tells him to preach. Doesn't care what people think. If it's from the Bible, he's got to preach it. He cares about what God thinks. And I was thankful for that. And I'm thankful for men in the church that backed up that hard preaching. There are certain things that a pastor preaches that he does not want to preach when he's back in his office studying for a message. Somebody's not going to like this. There's some people that are not going to like this. The Lord says, preach it. It's okay. Preach it. It's in the Bible. I need you to preach it. There's a reason I put this on your heart. Amen. And I'm thankful for the men of the church that backed my dad up. Yes, didn't let him just, you know, crucify himself up here when he got to hard subjects and just silence. Man, I'm thankful for the men at Blessed Soul Baptist Church that back up Pastor Ross. When he preaches on hard things, the church gets louder. Yes, we may not like some of the hard things, but man, we know we need it. And we say, amen, thank you, preacher. Thank you for that help. We know we don't like it, but we're thankful for it because we need that hard stuff. We need to be put back on track. We need to get our thinking straight on some stuff. I've had an unthankful spirit. Thank you, preacher. An amen doesn't hurt. An amen doesn't hurt. You know, an amen is a way of telling a preacher, thank you, preacher, we agree with you. Doesn't mean you're living a perfect life. I don't say amen because, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm doing good at that. Go ahead and preach that. No, I'm saying amen because it's from the Bible. It's a Bible principle. It's what the preacher, what God has given the preacher to preach, and I want him to know, I agree with you. You're not preaching man's beliefs. You're preaching straight out of the Bible. I know that's a tough thing to preach on, preacher, but thank you. When I'm silent, I'm not showing thankfulness. Could it be they didn't say thank you because they had a spiritual problem? How about shy of worship? The Bible says in verse 18, with a loud voice glorified God. It says, verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. You may say, well, I praise him. I praise the Lord in my quiet time and in my heart. Okay, but the next time the TV's on and you're watching your favorite football team or favorite basketball team and they start winning, or score a touchdown, you start going, yeah! I'm like, whoa, 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 let's do that in our heart. Let's do it the right way. Silence. All right, silence. Don't be too excited about it. All right? Is that how we treat sports? Anybody, you say, well, I'm not into sports, so I don't. No. Think of people who are into sports, all right? Is that how they treat their favorite team when they're watching? No. And when the team messes up, what do they do? Come on! What are you doing? They immediately get on the refs, right? It's always the refs' problem, right? I mean, the teams that are always losing, like Sacramento Kings, all right, that are always losing, it's always the refs are out to get us, all right? We always find excuses, and it's always in someone else. It's never our fault. But we are quick to go crazy for our team. Our kids that play sports, or man, they're doing something, we want to cheer them on. Yeah! We get excited about that. But when it comes to the things of God, we get quiet. We need more Christians getting excited about serving the Lord. We need more Christians getting on a bus route and losing themselves and saying, let's go crazy. Let's do something exciting for the Lord. Let's sing a crazy song together. I remember, hey, you like that, amen. Come on now. I remember when I was in Bible college and we had this kid, his name was Brenton Foltz. And when he came to college, very quiet kid. He was super fun to be around, but he was quiet. In front of people, it was like, whoa, absolutely not. He couldn't talk to more than like three or four people. It was just like, he did not want to ever talk. We got him on the bus one time. And we said, hey, why don't you to lead a song? He was like about to pass out leading a bus song on the bus. And he just went to the back of the bus. He hid back there just like literally curling up because he was so scared, so nervous. He had never been on a bus route before. Come to college, it was his first time. And man, we kept just encouraging him. Come on, man, you got to do it. It is so fun. I'm telling you, the kids have no idea if you don't know what you're doing. They think you've been doing this your whole life. I'm like, they don't know. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, these kids don't know. They're new to church just like you are. They're still learning the songs. I'm like, just learn one song, the B-I-B-L-E, that you know super good, all right? And just sing that to the top of your lungs and go crazy with it. And man, it took him like a month after we had started this process. And he just kept getting close and just getting quiet. No, I can't do it, can't do it. Finally, the day came where he said, whew. I remember him taking a deep breath. I think I can do it. I'm like, you sure? He's like, right now, I think I can. I don't know about when we get on the bus, but I think today's the day. And I remember, I'm like, well, don't psych yourself out, right? Today's the day. Let's do this. Come on, man. I'm like, today's the day. And he said, all right. Man, he got on that bus, and we said, all right, we're going to. I didn't even ask him. Because I knew if I asked him, he'd going to think about it again. But I knew if I called him up in front of everybody, he was going to do it because he was pressured into doing it. Because he already volunteered now. And I remember saying, hey, today we're going to have someone new sing a song for you guys. We're not going to have boring old brother AJ sing anymore, boring old brother Becker anymore sing. We're going to have Brenton Foltz all the way from Virginia. He's going to come and sing the B-I-B-L-E. How many like the B-I-B-L-E? And man, they're all, yeah, going crazy. And I remember him just sweating profusely walking up there. Kids had no idea how scared and how nervous he was. And I remember him getting up there, and I just whispered, and I said, just go crazy. That's why I said to him, he gets up there, all right, kid, and his voice got super high. He has got this low voice, and all of a sudden he was like, all right, kids, what's the B-I-B-L-E, all right, let's sing the B-I-B-L-E. And the kids started singing it for him. And they're just like, the B-I-B-L-E. So he just got into it, and he started going crazy, and he got his Bible up, and then the kids said, again! They asked him to sing it again, and he was like, he had so much fun. He was like, all right. So he sang it again, and he sang it like four times. And I mean, by the time it was the fourth time, he was a maniac. I mean, he was crazy. He was jumping up on the seats, like raising his Bible up in the air. We got done dropping the kids off. I'm like, what got into you? He's like, that was a whole lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. Like, I'm definitely leading a song every single week. He's like, man, that was fun. Then he became the guy to lead songs. And nobody was better than him because he realized, man, serving the Lord is fun. This is something, if you put yourself into it and lose yourself, the bus route, teaching a Sunday school class. I mean, there are so many things in the Christian life that are a lot of fun, that the world thinks we're sacrificing, we're giving up all this stuff. No, this is the best place we could ever be. This is the best place we could ever serve our kids. We need to stand up for Jesus. We need more people coming to the altar. We need more Christians out soul winning. We need more Christians working on bus routes. We need more Christian warriors who are praying every single week for our young people, for our churches, and for people to come to Christ and get saved. We need more Christian people surrendering to teach a Sunday school class. I believe, lastly, the reason they probably didn't say thank you and why it vanished was they were slaves to their past. Slaves to their past. Could it be they have lived this way for so long? They were lepers for a long time. They were outcast. Nobody wanted them. They were a mess. They stunk. And they were so busy looking at their past rags, scars, and the fact that they were outcast that they were literally uncomfortable trusting in Jesus. They were uncomfortable humbling themselves to come and tell him thank you. Reliving your past offers no future. In a room tonight of this size, there's a lot of past that people would say, I wish we're not in my past. Our lives have not been perfect. Your life has not been perfect. There is one person in this world that would love for you to dwell on everything of the past that were mistakes, failures, mess-ups, things in your life
that you don't look up and say, man, let me tell you about this. This was awesome. This is the story I got to tell you. Those stories in your life that you would say are scars. There's one person, that's the devil. The devil would love for you to dwell on that. He would love for you to beat yourself up on it and to tell yourself you can't move on past it. You're worthless. Nobody wants you. You can't do anything for God because of this and this. And it's going to come up with all the reasons of why you can't be used of God. I'm telling you, reliving your past offers no future. God has forgiven you. God will forgive you of the things that you've done in your life. You're not perfect and you never will be perfect. But I thank God that we've got a God that will forgive us. Are you thankful for that? Say amen.
Amen.
It'll drag you down. If you dwell upon your past, it'll drag you down. It'll rob you of your joy, stunt your spiritual growth. It'll drive you crazy. It'll hinder your testimony and limit the blessings of God in your life if you dwell on the past. I wrote these two things in my Bible. When the devil comes to remind you of your past, just remind him of his future. I don't know about you, but I'm glad and I know where my future's at. Talked about at the beginning of the service. I'm going to where? Talk to me now. Where are we going? I'm going to heaven. I know where the devil's going. So he can laugh at me all he wants. He can mock me. He can try to remind me of all the mistakes and mess ups in my life. But I'll just go ahead and remind him where he's going in his end and where I'm going. I wrote this down in my Bible years ago too. I refuse to let the dirty laundry of my yesterdays be hung out on the clotheslines of my future. I'll read it again. I refuse to let the dirty laundry of my yesterdays be hung out on the clotheslines of my future. I don't want to be reminding myself of all the dumb things I did in my past. I want to learn from them, but I'm not going to dwell upon them. The things I want to dwell on is what God's done for me. Those are the things that I want to remind myself. Those are the things I want to be thankful for when I bring up those old things and say, man, I can't believe the Lord did that for us. I get excited telling my kids about things that I remember. You remember sometimes stuff pops up into your head that you forgot about? Maybe it's something God did for you a long time ago and you totally forgot about it. Man, those moments, tell your kids about it. Your kids are probably not alive sometimes. Some of the things you don't, or maybe they were 2 years old, they don't remember about it. Remind your kids, hey, you probably don't remember this, but when you were 2 years old, we didn't have any money to buy a vehicle. Nothing. We didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't know how daddy was going to get to work and how we were going to get to church. We didn't have a clue. And somehow, God provided. Remember that minivan that we had? Remember that thing? God provided that for us. It was awesome. We didn't know where we were going to go. It's okay to remind them of that. Why don't we thank the Lord for that right now? Hey, let's pray. Let's pray and thank God for what he did back then. It's okay to keep reminding your kids to say thank you. A funeral home director told me this. He said, you can't put anything of value on a dead person because people in the family who are addicted to drugs and alcohol will come back and dig up the grave to get whatever is left to sell it. Unbelievable. I don't know if you can go any lower as a human than to go back and dig up something that's dead and been put away. But some of us Christians are doing that all the time. Some of us Christians are digging up our past and reminding ourselves about all the dumb things we did in the past, and the devil's hoping you, he's giving you a shovel. Go ahead, yeah, dig, remind yourself of that dumb thing you did. I can't believe you do something like that. What a loser you are. You can't be used of God. You think you can help somebody? Ha! You're kidding yourself. That's the devil talking. That's the devil who would say, you can't do anything great for God. But God's on the other side. Look throughout Scripture and look who he used all throughout Scripture to do great things for him. And tell me he can't use you. If God could use some of the ladies and some of the men of the Bible who had worse things happen to them and did worse things than you and still were able to be used of God, do you not think he could use you? I believe he can. What God has declared dead, he wants us to leave behind. Forget those things, just like he's forgot them and cast them in the deepest sea. Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to us. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
We have so much to be thankful for. My mom wrote a chorus. I'm done with this. I'm done. But my mom wrote a chorus for our family growing up. We sang it every time, maybe not every time, but just about every time we got together as a family for dinner. We'd sing this little chorus. It went, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everything you did for us, like food and clothes and a house to live in. We thank you, Lord. Literally, my whole childhood, And didn't even know my mom wrote it when I was a kid, but we just sang. It just became a custom every time. Even when I go back to California, we get together for dinner. What do? We say, "We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everything you did for us, like food and clothes and a house to live in. We thank you, Lord." I'm glad that my parents instilled into me to be thankful. Are we doing our due diligence as parents tonight to teach our kids to be thank you? If you know the song, how many know the song, "I Have Been Blessed"? You know the song, all right? If you know the song, I want to sing it tonight before we go. We'll sing it together. I want you to think about the words. We won't sing the entire song, but we'll sing the beginning and the chorus together. But I want you to think about these words and think about your own life and think about the things in your life that God has done for you to be thankful for. Let's start it together. When He moves among us, all that He does, all of His mercy, all of His love. If the pen of a writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how I've been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, laughter in summer, the changing of leaves, food on my table, and a good place to sleep, clothes on my back, and shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. Sing it now. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. If the Lord's been good, would you say amen?
Amen.
Don't forget to thank Him for it this week, all right? Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We could spend all night tonight thanking you for everything you've given to us, everything you've done for us, Lord, in our own personal lives, in our family's life, Lord, in our church. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that we would use the altar or where we're at, Lord, in our pew to take some time tonight for just a few moments to thank you for what you've done for us.